Thanks for joining us for this Linder Farm Network Field Talk podcast. With the midterm elections in the rearview mirror, most races have been decided, but some House and Senate seats are still being determined. Nonetheless, there's ample analysis taking place on what the election results will mean, especially for agriculture. Former Congressman Colin Peterson joined Lynn Kettleson to give his insights.
We have a guest with us on the Linder Farm Network, former chairman of the House Ag Committee, Colin Peterson. And Colin, let's kind of get your thoughts post-election here on impact on agriculture. I know you've worked many, many years on Farm Bill. What's your thoughts on the direction that we may or may not be heading?
Early to tell. We have to kind of wait till we see what happens in the Senate. It looks like it's going to go Democratic, if I had to guess right now. So you're going to be in the somewhat same situation we were in the 18 bill, where we had a Republican House and a Democratic Senate. No, it was both. I guess it was Republican Senate and Republican House in 18. We've been through that before. But anyway, the margin in the House is a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. I was expecting it was going to be 25 seats at a minimum. But it looks like it's going to get down to the wire. They may not have the majority by very much at all. There's some people saying that the Democrats could actually pull it out. I don't think that's the case. But in any event, you're going to have very close margins in both the House and the Senate. So what that means is they're going to have to sit down and figure out how they can work together if they're going to get a farm bill done. And at this point, it doesn't seem like that's what they want to do. But I've been, advising them that I think this is the right path for them to go to get this bill done. If they could, I think the fact that you have a closer majority could actually help get the farm bill done, because you could kind of say to the kind of radical extremists that, look, we can't be going off on these tangents if we're going to make anything happen here. So how they're going to approach it, I'm not sure, but V.T. Thompson, who will be the chairman if the Republicans take over, is a decent guy. I've went to his district twice to help him back when I was chairman. I went to his ag fair in Pennsylvania. But he's getting pushed by the folks that want to take on food stamps. And I'm not sure if he can camp that down or not, but if he can't, that'll be kind of the end of the farm bill, because whatever they do on food stamps, if the Democrats don't support it, Biden will veto it, and there's not going to be enough votes to override the veto. So my advice to him and both sides is that they settle the food stamp stuff at the beginning, where they settle something where both sides can agree to whatever it is, and then they can move on to doing the conservation and crop insurance and Title I and rural development, all the rest of it.
Do you expect a lot of climate change provisions tied to portions of the farm bill, or do you think they can keep crop insurance and other provisions intact?
Yeah, well, that's another question. Obviously the Republicans, if they control the House, are not going to want to do that. They don't like a lot of what's being proposed. There's talk that they're going to use a bunch of their time to investigate the Vilsack administration over the USDA on the stuff that they've done with these climate smart commodity pilot programs and so forth. There's people on the Republican side that think that he's overstepped his bounds with the CCC. And they're talking about investigating that. But you have, on the House side, the Democrats that are left in the committee, they lost 6 members on the House Democrat side. The ones that are left are the ones that want something with climate change. And so that's going to be another issue. So the two things that the Democrats are going to want out of this farm bill are climate change provisions and food stamps being left intact the way they are. How they get by this, that's the question. Now the Senate I think will also, if it goes Democrat, they will also take that position that, that you know, the food stamps and the climate change stuff is important. But Stabenow has also always been, you know, a strong supporter of farm programs. You know, she's, you know, got sugar, she's got dairy, she's got a lot of traditional agriculture in Michigan, and she's always stood up for them. So so she'll be pushing that, you know, in the House. I don't think you're going to have Democrats going to be lining up with her. So, you know, so I was on this call a couple of days ago, and I took that, I agreed to do it because I thought we would know what was going on, and we don't, and we still don't. So until the Senate gets settled and the House is firmly settled, you know, we really don't know where this thing is going, and then it's going to depend on how the leaders in both parties decide to approach the issue.
So would the best option be simply to extend what's there, or do you think that's an option?
That might be the case. That might be where we end up. You know, there's people that want to push, as you said earlier, tying this climate change stuff to crop insurance. That would be a disaster. That would be the worst thing that could happen. So if we've got, if it's something like that, that you know, that would be the outcome, I would say then we'd be much better off to just extend the current law than go down that path. Because I think you start doing that with crop insurance, you're going to undermine the program. You know, it's one thing to take CCC money and start these pilot projects, which is not a bad idea, actually, to try to figure out what works and what doesn't. But I think they are stretching, you know, the authorization there. And one of the reasons they're doing that is because President Trump used this, you know, for his market facilitation payments and all these other payments that he made out of the CCC. So I think the Democrats learned a lesson from that, said, well, you can do it, then we can do it with what we want to do. So it just kind of depends on how this plays out, but it could be at the end of the day that the best option would be to extend the current law. You know, and we won't know that until summertime.
Do you have any concerns on ethanol with a Democratic governor and legislature in Minnesota with the California rules, or do you think they'll get that all figured out?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of folks in the ethanol industry that are actually moving towards trying to comply with the California standards because they see a market there. California doesn't produce any ethanol. So, you know, we have people in Minnesota that are moving in that direction because they want to tap into that market. So I'm not sure that does anything that undermines ethanol particularly. I'm just not sure it's the long-term solution to maintaining a market that we can count on. You know, I still think the RFS is the best solution. You know, and if they would just follow what they agreed to, and that is have 15% of the market, fuel market, go to ethanol, that would work. And frankly, what they should do is they should raise that to 30%. You know, and then we'd have a decent market, and you know, we got some other issues with that. We'd have to change the pumps and so forth and so on. But Brazil did this 20 years ago, and they've been doing 30% blend in their gas in their fuel in Brazil for the last 20 years, and that's really what we need to do here if you want to have a solid, maintained market in ethanol. But you know, there's some people that question the Minnesota doing what they're doing, but you know, it's not gonna necessarily do the industry in. It's just a question of whether that's the right strategy or not.
Thanks for listening. Check out other Field Talk podcasts on Apple and Spotify, as well as the LinderFarmNetwork.com website. And get daily farm news and market information from the Linder Farm Network, the voice of Minnesota agriculture.